In Japan, opposition is mounting against a decision to relocate the U.S. military base on Okinawa. Opponents are now threatening with lawsuits and protests demanding that the base be completely moved off the island. The head of the Nago group, which opposes the base, said that the organization would file a lawsuit challenging the governor's decision. Okinawa officials have approved the relocation of a controversial U.S. military base on the southern island. About half of all U.S. military personnel in Japan are stationed there. The stagnation of the relocation issue has been a thorn in the side of relations between Tokyo and Washington since 1996, when the two governments agreed on the original plan to move the base. Joining us now is John McGlynn, a political commentator from Tokyo. Now, this threat of protests and legal action by the opposition, how far do you think it is going to go in basically really challenging this move?
Well, we'll see, but I think there's going to be considerable opposition to the base relocation. There are still multiple political hurdles that have to be overcome in order for a basing decision, a basing transfer from Futenma in Okinawa to the area of Nago. Requires the approval of the mayor of Nago, and so there's a political process that still has to play out, so there are opportunities for people in Okinawa and people who are opposed to either a relocated or an expanded base, U.S. base presence in Okinawa to voice a protest. So that's the immediate political situation. But there's another point I want to make, which is that what's going on in Okinawa with the relocation of the base is one of three points that have to be considered about activities in the Pacific these days. And so from the U.S. point of view, there are three things going on at the same time. One is what to do about the base situation in Okinawa. Number two is the U.S. pivot to the Pacific, which means freedom of movement of military assets, U.S. military assets in the Western Pacific region. And number three is U.S. policy specifically towards China. Does the U.S. have a containment policy towards China, either a heavy containment policy, a containment light policy, or are China and the U.S. possibly going to be able to work out a kind of a superpower relationship so they can both work agreeably in the Pacific and around the world. So Okinawa fits in with those other two points, which also have to be considered.
Right, indeed. That brings me to my next question. The U.S. has made no secret of its intention of not only maintaining its military presence in the Asia-Pacific region, but also increasing it over the coming years. So it would be safe to consider that despite the opposition from the Japanese public, the U.S. is going to maintain its presence on Japanese soil.
Oh, yes. No question about that. There are troop movements going on inside Okinawa and some withdrawal of troops from Okinawa to Guam, but that will support a forward position that's based in Japan. So whether it's in Okinawa or on the Japanese mainland or in Guam or any place else in the Pacific, it's all in support of a forward presence by the U.S. military in the Western Pacific, with Japan as the center. So, and there are the Osprey that recently arrived in Japan, in Okinawa, the possibility of Japan buying its own Osprey, the combination military jet and, I should say, propeller-driven plane and helicopter-type aircraft. The other planned purchases of Japan of military equipment from the United States, plus the use of drones. So there's a lot of military equipment that's going to be brought to Japan or to locations outside of Japan, which will support the Japan-based military U.S. Activities. So a lot is going to be happening, and we'll have to see what happens between the United States and China.
Well, then this also raises the question of whether the U.S. policy of further militarizing this area is a smart one, so to speak, considering it is giving rise to basically an arms race and a race of militarization?
Yeah, an arms race, militarization, yes, that's happening. And also just, I don't know how you would describe it, but just typical, normal, you know, business and tourism and that type of activity and that's going on in the region, sort of in this triangular area between Japan and China and then all the way down to Taiwan. I mean, a good example of how this, even if there's no military encounter, how this is affecting life in the area is that China recently issued its own air defense identification zone, which is very similar to the air defense identification zone that the U.S. has had since, well, for about 50 years. And basically, it's an opportunity, it's an effort to identify planes that are flying in a certain area off of China's coast just to make sure that, China, the Chinese mainland is protected. So China is doing exactly what the U.S. has done, also what Japan has done, and a number of other countries have done. But the U.S. and Japan are very much opposed to what China has done, even though it just makes sense from the point of view of the safety of commercial airliners or anybody who's flying through the region that, you know, China and other countries have to have an understanding of what's going on between very heavy commercial activity and now intensifying military aircraft activity as well. So the civilian side and the military side are going to be overlapped. So there's going to be a lot of conflict and new rules being worked out, even absent any kind of direct military encounter between the U.S. and China or Japan and China.
Okay, we'll watch the space. John McGlynn, a political commentator, joining us from Tokyo. Many thanks indeed for your comments here on Press TV.